You ready to go?
Ooh. Okay.
What?
This was the amendment to make it go. I thought we should have
I don't care.
Okay.
Got it. We called order the House Special Session Committee on Budget Reconciliation. We are in a work session on Senate Bill 1007, voters pamphlet. Dallas?
Yeah, Mr. Chair, members of the committee. Senate Bill 1007 would make changes to the voters pamphlet. That would reduce costs and just change the way the voters pamphlet information is distributed. There was a lot of concern expressed about limitation on the number of arguments and fees and the like. Well, we have caused to be drafted, therefore, with a -2 amendment that allows unlimited number of arguments to be filed. It does limit the amount of the argument that will be put in the voters pamphlet. The rest will be online. It does change the fees. This one then addresses some concerns also with costs and revenues. It's consistent with the plan of the Group of Five, the budget reconciliation, and changes from the voters pamphlet. We have worked with staff of the elections division. They know exactly what's in the -2, and Mr. McNeil's here to ask your questions if you have any.
Representative Schrader, I know has worked hard on this. Do you have any comments?
None other than that I think this bill helps fill a hole, gets to the concerns I think that were expressed in an earlier hearing, and allows some good things to happen with centralized voter registration later on. I urge the committee's positive support.
Fred, do you want to come up and say a few words?
I would. Appreciate it. Mr. Chair.
Fred Neal, one of the managers in the Elections Division for the Secretary of State's office. In addressing the members of the committee, Representative Westland, in addressing the -2 amendments to Senate Bill 1007, we applaud this approach of the legislatures to address or internalize in the budget the actual cost of the voters pamphlet and to effectuate some savings. We realize that it does require the Secretary of State to absorb an additional unspecified $155,000 in budget cuts, and we're prepared to address that to assist you in balancing the budget. However, these changes do need to be addressed in Senate Bill 5574, the disappropriation measure, because if they are not, that measure will continue to disappropriate over $1 million of unbudgeted funds from the Secretary's budget. So we appreciate your addressing this matter throughout the course of this special session, knowing that you had much of your fish to fry. Thank you very much.
Mr. Chair. Appreciate those positive comments, Fred.
Just I'd like to thank publicly Fred for being so helpful in working late, long nights with Dallas and trying to help craft a reasonable solution. I know we'd like it to be a little better yet, and 155 is tough. And also I'd for we didn't have to raise the fees at this stage, but maybe there's an opportunity to do something different later on. But I really appreciate your help. It's been outstanding.
Representative Schrader.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. The piece of this that still concerns me is the elimination of the requirement that the voters' pamphlet contain the text of measures. What means are available then to present to voters the text of measures that they're being asked to vote on the ballot? My understanding is most ballots now don't contain the text, the full text either.
Mr. Chair, Representative Shetterly, the ballots, and in the case of punch card counties, the ballot style or ballot instruction booklets include the ballot title, which is a caption, the results of a yes, results of no, summary, explanatory statement, fiscal impact. The text historically has been in the voters pamphlet. The original Oregon voters pamphlet was strictly the text, and there was nothing to tell you quite what all that meant in any way, shape, or form back over 150 years ago. But the text will be available online. Our entire voters guide for 7 years now has been fully online and has gotten millions of hits each election, and that continues to rise exponentially each election. We will also be distributing this to each county elections office where they can post it So as the electors come in to register or update or get, obtain replacement ballots during the course of an election, vote by mail election, they will see the have the text available to them. Most public libraries in the state are web accessed, and the Secretary of State's site is highly popular through that venue during an election cycle.
Mr. Chair.
Representative Nolan.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Mr. Neal, I want to get into a little bit of the specifics of the bill. I appreciate the time you spent bringing me up to speed this afternoon, earlier this afternoon about this, and you provided me with a sample of what a 1/8 page looks like. My simple arithmetic tells me that two sides of this will bring in $20,000 to the Secretary of State. Is that the cost of printing and distributing one page of newsprint?
On both sides. Chair Westland, Representative Nolan, that exceeds the cost of printing both sides of that page and mailing it. We estimate that to be approximately, and that is a rough approximation in perhaps the worst way, $4,000. One side, so eight for two sides.
Okay, and maybe I shouldn't address this question to you then, but perhaps to the chair. If the purpose is to recover the costs, why are we recovering 1.5 or 2 times the cost?
I think there's a miscommunication on the numbers, and maybe Fred could. You indicated that this brings in $20,000, both sides.
Mm-hmm.
And I heard Fred say that it costs approximately
eight.
So this is producing $12,000 positive cash flow.
Okay.
Cool. See, something doesn't add up.
$10,000 and it costs $4,000. So that's right. It's 20 versus 8 for measure argument pages. The voter's pamphlet contains other pages, including voting instructions, drop site locations, and candidate statements, and the remaining information minus the text relevant to measures.
So if you blend,
all fees are going up under the -2 amendments, but only statewide candidates would be paying the full cost of a page, of a candidate page in the voter's pamphlet. Those submitting measure arguments would be paying more than the cost of printing those arguments alone.
Quick follow-up on that, Mr. Chair. As I briefly read the amendment for statewide candidates who are published in the same distribution as arguments on state ballot measures, statewide distribution, one page, two sides generates $10,000. $2,500 each for a half page, right?
$500 for a half page, so it's $2,000.
New fees will be $2,500.
And then the fees go up to $1,250. Oh, you're talking about candidates?
Statewide office,
$2,500.
Yes.
They get a half page.
So that's $5,000 a side, $10,000 a page. What I don't understand, Mr. Chair, is are we asking arguments on ballot measures to subsidize the rest of the voter's pamphlet?
Chair Westland, Representative Nolan, that would not be an unfair characterization of the effect of the fee increases.
Okay. Representative Patridge.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I'd just like to point out, too, though, that while this is a substantial increase in cost, people can also go out and get signatures and get their measure in the voter's pamphlet at no cost. So I just want to, while we're discussing this, I wanted to make that fact clear, too. So that's why I'm comfortable with what the recommendation is.
Any further discussion? Representative Hansen.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Question for Mr. Neal. When you were sizing out, I thought the original purpose that we went back to rework this was to bring full cost recovery to the to the pages and the voters now. Now it sounds like we're exceeding that, and we're getting to the point that that we are subsidizing the whole printing of the what was your understanding in terms of sizing the fees to the costs? What was your rationalization in setting the fees or asking for the fees to be at this
point? Chair, Representative Hansen, we've presented the budget committees in the group of five sessions with a set of scenarios of cuts 2, 4, 6, 8, 10% for our secretary's budget. Also, means of addressing those cuts through changes in the format of the voter's pamphlet and a modification in other programs within the Secretary of State's purview. Further, we've looked at the impact of increasing fees by any number of multipliers for all voter's pamphlet fees without necessarily restructuring the relationship of one size of one fee for major arguments versus the size of a fee for a statewide or less than statewide candidate, and looked at the revenues that would be derived. The Dash 2 amendments try to solve two issues. One, to reduce the cost of the voter's pamphlet, and secondly, to finally internalize the budgeting of the voter's pamphlet through a two-year cycle within the budget, something that the legislature has not been able to do through the regular budget process in the past three biennials because of the increased size of the voter's pamphlet. And so to address both of those issues, this Dash 2 set of amendments increases revenues and reduces the size of major arguments.
Mr. Chair? The main charge, as I understood our committee, was to make sure we had still access to as many arguments as possible. That was our goal. And to accomplish that in the recession, it was necessary to, that would mean, obviously, when the Secretary of State originally came in, as you recollect, some of the new committee members, that we're going to have just one argument. That was not very popular. So what we suggested is to ask the Secretary of State and our LFO office if there's a way to get back to a fairly unlimited argument type of status, so there's as much free speech allowed as could be possible, and yet still find some way to reconcile the costs. I don't think, even with the increase, which again I agree is high, but even with that increase, I don't believe we're at a point where the voter's pamphlet and the fees alone cover the cost. I guess I'd ask, if I may, Mr. Chair, at this point, two questions, if you can. Currently, without this bill, how much do the fees, what proportion of the total cost of voter's pamphlets do the fees take care of? And then secondly, after this, where do we stand, if you have that information?
Yes, pretty much based on the last election cycle's actual expenditures and revenues, that it would take $2,763,000 to produce the voter's pamphlet for this cycle, a primary and general election, and that we would gain, expect to derive from filing fees about $576,000. So we'd have to more than quadruple the fees to pay fully, for the state to fully fund a publication distribution of the voter's pamphlet.
Mr. Chair, Representative Shetterly.
Thank you. I understand the budget implications to this bill, and I will support it to the floor. I think I do have to comment, though, that it's ironic that, as Fred said, in the beginning we had the measure text but no arguments, and so we're not sure whether people knew what they were voting on. I think the same thing might be said if we flip that entirely upside down and all we have is what we have is arguments and not the text of the measure. I'm not sure that necessarily helps inform people any better on what they're actually voting on. So it does concern me that the text is gone. And I know a lot of folks who vote with the voter's pamphlet on the kitchen table that don't have computer access to get to those texts. So that does trouble me. I understand the budget necessity and the budget implications here, but it's a tough one.
Good comment.
Any further discussion? Representative Shetterly?
I'll move.
Please.
Yes. Mr. Chair, I'd like to recommend the Dash 2 amendments to House Bill 1007.
Representative Schrader has moved the Dash 2 amendments to
Senate Bill.
Senate Bill 1007. Any discussion? Any objections? Seeing none, order. Representative Schrader?
Yes, Mr. Chair, I'd like to move Senate Bill 1007 as amended to the floor with a due pass recommendation.
Representative Schrader has moved Senate Bill 1007 as amended by the dash twos to the Senate floor with a due pass recommendation. Or is it the House floor? To the House floor with a due pass recommendation. Any discussion? Representative Hansen?
I think I'll support this in terms of moving it to the floor. I've got concerns over both the format and the cost of I'd like to reserve how I'm going to vote on the floor maybe for another time, but I'm likely to support this from the standpoint that at least we can work it through the primary, see how the primary works, and then if we see any real flaws or we have a lot of angst after the primary, that we may have another opportunity to make some modifications before the general. And the general will have the bulk of the initiatives on it, and that's when I think it will have the full impact. But it might be good to run this as a trial through the primary.
Yeah, I appreciate that. Fred, before you get out of here, before you leave, let me make sure I talk to you just for a second. I share that concern. I understand exactly what you're saying. Any further discussion? Any objections to moving?
Yes, sir.
Let the record show, if I could finish my...
Okay.
Any objections to moving Senate Bill 1007 as amended to the floor of the House of Representatives with a due pass recommendation? Let the record show Representative Nolan is a no. See no other objections, so ordered. Carriers?
Sure.
You go down there. I'm going to do judges, and I'll be right there. I love to do 10-10, but we better do kitty pain.
I'm going to be right here.
And then, Susan, call Hearing Room F if they need me down there. And I mean, I'm planning on coming, but if they need me, like, ASAP. We'll close the work session on Senate Bill 1007 and open the work session on Senate Bill 1006.
Hi, Robin.
Hi.
How are you doing?
Good. Mr. Chair, members, you have in front of you, and me too, Senate Bill 1006, which reduces the number of new judgeships and reduces juror payments as part of the overall 2001-03 budget rebalancing plan. You have on your desk in front of you the dash three amendments, which were drafted in response to a request by Representative Patridge, and I believe he can walk you through those amendments.
I'll go ahead. These amendments do a couple things. One, we created six new judgeships during the legislative session. This retains three existing judgeships and moves the remaining three, which were determined as a result of the Gleaves Commission report, which reports on which courts need judges, the latter three to an effective date of 6/30/03, which would mean they would be towards the last day of the biennium. They would be the last day of the biennium, and then would roll into the next biennium. I've talked to the court about this. While it will create a difference in cycle, you can see in section 1, number 2, that if there's an appointment at some point in time down the line, we can fix it so that they're in cycle with the rest of the judges in the state. So that's basically the extent of the bill. The other things are a lot of technical changes that we had recommended by legislative council.
Mr. Chair, this amendment also includes the changes that were recommended by the Chief Justice that were incorporated into 4060. We had extensive discussion on those amendments as part of the amendments that you made to 4060.
And just so I was otherwise indisposed, what we're doing here is we're doing three positions January 1st, and according to Glee's report, 1, 2, 3, and then on June 30, we're doing 4, 5, and 6.
Okay.
Any further discussion? Representative Patridge?
Move the dash three amendments to Senate Bill 1006.
Any discussion?
Any objections?
No object.
Let the record show Representative Schrader has an objection. Seeing no other objections, ordered. And for motion.
Mr. Chair, I'd move Senate Bill 1006 as amended to the floor with a due pass recommendation.
Representative Patridge has moved Senate Bill 1006 as amended by the dash threes to the floor of House of Representatives with a due pass recommendation. Any objections?
Just me.
Discussion? Oh, excuse me.
Discussion. Is there any other possible confident way we can figure out three, six into three and three into two and. I guess not.
We could do 2-2 and 2 or something.
No, March.
Well, we can do that tomorrow. We can do 6 and 0, you know.
But that's a different story. Okay, any other discussion? Any objections other than Representative Schrader? House Bill, or Senate Bill 1006.
How do we get the money?
1006 is amended by the dash 3 is moved before the House of Representatives with due pass recommendation. We'll close the work session on Senate Bill 1006 and open the work session on 1010, unless we got any more judicial stuff.
I need a carrier.
Rep. Patridge.
Okay. Thank you.
You don't have any other time.
No.
Okay.
Robin?
You have 1010?
Mm-hmm.
Are you ready to do SBR 50?
No. I'm
not.
Okay.
All
right.
You got another copy?
We've opened the work session on Senate Bill 1010. Staff, how are
you? Mr. Chair, members of the committee, just fine. Senate Bill 1010 sets some administrative procedures for the processing of SJR 50. That's a referral to the voters for a transfer of funds from
Education Endowment
Fund. Thank you. What this does is set some timelines for the Secretary of State and the Attorney General to do their work with the ballot measure title and the likes. It's simply an administratively sets process for this ballot measure. It has no fiscal.
No amendments?
No amendments.
Oh, my God.
Mr. Chair?
Representative Shetterer.
I just want to say that you asked if we were ready on SJR 50. I've got to have a follow-up conversation with the House Minority Leader about I think one issue with SJR 50. If you want to pass this in this session, that's fine. I'd suggest perhaps that you wait to sign the committee report until we do make sure we have the agreement on SJR 50.
Okay. Yeah.
But this is as far as it goes.
Any discussion on Senate Bill 1010?
Mr. Chair, I move Senate Bill 1010 to the floor with a due pass recommendation.
Representative Shirley has moved Senate Bill 1010 to the floor of the House of Representatives with due pass recommendation. Any discussion? Any objections? This one I actually like. Seeing none, so ordered. Let's do 50 if we can. Do you do 50?
I need to speak. I need to talk to the Minority Leader first.
All right. Let's.
Can you have a carrier?
Carrier. You better be Lane.
It'll be fine.
Okay. Let's recess the committee until I've got to get to Durfler's office.
And I'll take the time to find it.
Yeah, get that.
Betsy's here, so.
Quarter to. Okay, we're going to recess the committee. And.